Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Yud-Tet Amud Bet by the Mishnah. Bal Keri Meher Her Bilibo, Ve'enu Mivarech, Lo Lifaneha, Ve'lo Le'achareha. Now, Bal Keri is a person that has a Siman omission, and this Mishnah is addressing a situation after the Takana of Ezra. The Takana of Ezra is mentioned in the Gemara in Baba Kama, that Ezra was mitakein that anybody who had a Siman omission, or a Poletet Shechvat Zera, had to go to the Mikveh in order to be Osek B'Torah, in order to be engaged in Torah, Brachot, Tefillah. So this Mishnah, based on that, Takana says that a Baal Keri is not allowed to say Kriyat Shema or the Brachot of Kriyat Shema. But nevertheless, even though he's not allowed to say them, Meharher Bilibo, he's allowed to think in his heart about the Kriyat Shema. But he does not say the Brachot beforehand or the Brachot afterwards. That's even Behior. Vala Mazon, when it comes to Birkat HaMazon, Mevarech Lacharav, Veinu Mevarech Lefanav. He makes the Bracha afterwards, but not the Bracha beforehand. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevarech Lifnehem Ulachrehem. Rabbi Yehuda says, you make a Bracha before and after, which we'll see in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Avina, Zoto Merit, what you would conclude from our Mishnah is, Hihur Kidibur Dami, that having something in mind, thinking about it, is the equivalent of speaking it. Disakadacha Lav Kidibur Dami, if you think that when you have a Hihur, a thought, that's not like speaking, Lame Maharher, then what's the purpose of thinking about it at all? It has no bearing, it has no halachic ramifications, so then why do it? Elamai. So what do you want to suggest? Hihur Kidibur Dami? That having a thought is the equivalent of expressing or articulating the item, Yotzi B'Sfatav, then let him say it. If Hihur is the equivalent of saying it, then just say it. Kedashkachan B'Sinai. Like we see in Sinai, and that the Gemara is going to deal with later in today's daf, that just like by Sinai, the Baal Kerian were not allowed to attend Mamad Har Sinai. That's why everybody had to be mitahir themselves and separate from their wives beforehand. But there is restriction from a Baal Keri to engage in Torah. And that's based on the psukim we're going to see in later today's daf, that it says, V'odatam levenecha levenei menecha yom asher amata, so that you should pass on the Torah the same way that it was at Sinai. And the way it was at Sinai was the Baal Keri weren't allowed to attend. And just like Mamad Har Sinai was dibur and not hirhur, therefore also over here we're going to make such a distinction. So we're going to say, with regards to Dibor, we're not going to allow you to articulate it. But when it comes to Hirhur, we're going to allow you to do that, and we'll see why in certain instances. On the other hand, Rav Chisda Amar, Hirhur, Lav Ki Dibor Dami. Hirhur is not like articulating the item. These Akhadat Ko Hirhur Ki Dibor Dami. If you think that Hirhur is like articulating, Yotzi B'Sfatav, then let him say it. Elamai, Hirhur, Lav Ki Dibor Dami. So now what are you going to suggest? That the thought is not like expressing it or articulating it. Lame Meharher, then why bother to be Meharher? So that the whole world should not be Bin Kabel Omachut Shemaim, and you sit there doing nothing. Vinigros Bepirka Achrina. So why not let him just think about something else? Samaravada Brava, but Dovash Tzibur Oskimbo. We're talking about something that the Tzibur, we want him to be on the same path, on the same page as the Tzibur. If the Tzibur is dealing with Omachut Shemaim, so should he be dealing with Omachut Shemaim. So we allow him to be Meharher in Kriyat Shema, so that he is still a part of the Tzibur, but there's no dispensation for him to articulate or say Kriyat Shema. Certainly, here Hor is Lav Kedibur Dami. And as you see over here in the Tosafot, Rav Chisda Amar Lav Kedibur Dami, Rabbeinu Chananel Perish, Halacha K'Rav Chisda. Halacha is like Rav Chisda, and Rov HaRishonim are posek that the din is like Rav Chisda, and therefore here Hor, Lav Kedibur Dami. And that means, the Chatchila, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, a person must articulate the words when it comes to Kriyat Shema. When it comes to brachot, the person needs to say them, articulate them out loud, not simply think them. And the last thing is by divrei Torah. Person who thinks about hirhurei Torah, hirhur Torah does not need to make a birkat Torah on it because that's not considered like speaking. And so the Shulchan Aruch is consistent in its psak that here is lav kedibur dami, that's by divrei Torah, that is by kriyat shema as well as brachot. And the Gra disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch with regards to divrei Torah. And he says, for a different reason, even if you believe Hirhur Lav Kedibur Dami, by Divrei Torah, it's different. Because part of the mitzvah of learning Torah is V'higita Bo Yomam V'Laiva. So the mitzvah of learning Torah is not simply Dibur, it's even Hirhur. And therefore the Gra does not believe that the Shulchan Aruch is right with regards to Birkat Torah, and therefore you need to make Birkat Torah for Hirhur. Nevertheless, the Gra believes that, as Baruch points out in Or HaChaim Siman Mem Zayin Siv Dalet, that the Gra agrees to the Shulchan Aruch's psak that Hirhur Kalav Kedibur Dami. He agrees that by Dibrei Torah, it's not like you're speaking. Hirhur is not like Dibur. Nevertheless, you still have to make Birkat HaTorah because the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah involves not just dibur, but even hir hur. So now the Gemara continues, v'hare tfila de davasha tzibur oskim bo. If you say that anything that the tzibur is a sukin, that he should also be doing something, what about tfila? Shmon Esrei, the tzibur is also involved with. Why shouldn't he also then be maharher in Shmon Esrei v'tanan? Hayo made b'tfila niskar shu belkeri. Mishnah coming up, that if he's standing down in Shmon Esrei and remembers he's a belkeri, lo yafsik eli katsir. Doesn't stop right there, but he shortens his Shmon Esrei. Time of Adchil. That's only because he began Shmon Esrei. How lo Adchil? If he didn't begin Shmon Esrei, lo Yadchil. He shouldn't daven Shmon Esrei. I say, Shani Tvilo, delayed ba Malchut Shemayim. Shmon Esrei is not similar to Kriyat Shema Kashmir. Kriyat Shema has Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim in it. As Rashi points out over here, Ein Melech HaOlam Bebrakat Shel Yudchet. None of the brachot include El Melech HaOlam and any of the brachot. So it's missing that aspect of Malchut Shemayim. Where it says, Vare Birkat Mazon, Echrav, Delayt Be'ah Malchut Shemayim. Well, if that's the classification or the category which is allowed to be have here, who is Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim, why does our Mishnah then mention Birkat Mazon? Birkat Mazon, it says in our Mishnah that he's also Me'ar Her. But it's not Al Mazon, Mevrech Lacharav, and Mevrech Lefanav. Ella, Kriyat Shema, U Birkat Mazon, De Oraita. The real reason is that it has to do with whether the obligations been a Torah, or midirabanan. Kriyat Shema and Birkat HaMazon, which are dinim de'uraita, there we say for him to be mirharher. That's Kriyat Shema and Birkat HaMazon. V'chalta v'zavachtu v'rachta d'Hashem lokecha. Whereas Tefillah, Shmon Esrei, which is only a din de'rabanan, over there we didn't give him a dispensation to be mirharher. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Both Rashi and Tosafot bring an alternative girsa in which the conclusion of the Gemara is El Kriyat Shema de Rabbanan, Birkat HaMazon de Oraita, V'Tfilo de Rabbanan. And the explanation being that by Kriyat Shema you have Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, and that's why he's Meher. By Birkat HaMazon he's Meher because it's the Din de Oraita. And Tfilo, since it lacks both of those, it doesn't have Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, and nor is it a Din de Oraita. Over there, we do not allow him to be meharher. And that would be according to, I see later today's daf, that there is a shita that Kriyat Shema is only midirabanan. And that would be according to that shita, that would be the girsa that you would follow in the Gemara. Well, Rashi is okay with that girsa. Tosafot does not like that girsa based on what he said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it says that Kriyat Shema, he's meharher, because it's deoraita. Tosafot over there says that's divrei akol. According to everybody, Kriyat Shema in this Mishnah is mina Torah. That means both according to one who thinks that there's an obligation of Kriyat Shema in the Torah, and even according to one who says it's Derabanan, here it's Doraita. And that's because he's not going to say Emet V'Yatziv afterwards. He's not going to say Emet V'Yatziv afterwards, he's going to miss out on saying, or mentioning Yetziat Mitzrayim. If he mentions out Yetziat Mitzrayim, even the one who thinks that Kriyat Shema is Derabanan, still believes that there's a Mitzvah Doraita to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim. So if he's not going to say the Brachot of Kriyat Shema, then the only way to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim is through Kriyat Shema. So that'll make Kriyat Shema into a din de oraita. And based on that, Tosafot says, I don't like the girsa that says Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanan. Because we just said in the Mishnah, and we explained the Mishnah, he claims Rashi also said this in the Mishnah, it's not so clear that Rashi said in the Mishnah, Mitzvah Kriyat Shema is midoraita according to everyone. And if that's the case over here, if he's not saying Emet V'Yatziv, how could you suggest that Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanan? And therefore, Tosafot rejects this girsa that makes Kriyat Shema midorabanan. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Minayin de Birkat HaMazon, Acharei Mina Torah. So how do we know that the bracha achrona, Birkat HaMazon, is a bracha min haTorah? It's the only bracha possibly min haTorah. We're going to see in a second that there might be an additional one. Shnemar v'chalta v'savata uveirachta t'Hashem l'kecha arsa tova shenatan lach. Parshat Ekev, it says specifically, if you eat, you're satisfied, you have to make a bracha. Now, mayin the Birkat haTorah lefanea min haTorah. Now the Gemara moves over and now indicates that there's another bracha that's min haTorah, and that's Birkat haTorah beforehand, Shnemar. The pasuk says, "Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havugodel Elokeinu." So, as Rashi explains it, so Moshe is coming to liftoach with divrei shira. When Moshe is beginning to say over the divrei Torah of the shira, he says to them, "I'm first going to make a bracha, and when I break a bracha, you should be Havugodel Elokeinu. You should respond and elevate their mankind to God." And therefore, it says, "Kishem Hashem Ekra, I will call on the Shem Hashem." Means the bracha. And they will respond, that go to the Lokeinu, is that they will respond Amen. That they will have a response to that brocha. And that is the Birkat HaTorah. Because I will first call out to Hashem, you will answer Amen, and then only then will we proceed with the remainder of the Shira. And based on that, the Gemara indicates here that there's Birkat HaTorah, Lifanea min HaTorah. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Amadnu Birkat HaTorah L'Acharei min Birkat HaMazon Mikal V'Chomer. The Birkat HaTorah afterwards will learn out from Birkat HaMazon from Kal V'Chomer. Birkat HaMazon lefanah, min Birkat HaTorah, mikal v'chomer. And Birkat HaMazon beforehand, a bracha before you eat, We'll learn now from Birkat HaTorah, Mikal V'Chomer. Now this is, as the Gemara will get in the end up, is somewhat circular, but we'll work through it, and the Gemara will then come to a conclusion what the problem with the logic is. Birkat HaTorah L'Achareh, Mi Birkat HaMazon Mikal V'Chomer. Ma Mazon She'in Ton L'Fanav, Ton L'Acharav. Mazon does not require a bracha rishona, yet requires a bracha chorona. Torah She'tunah L'Fanav, Inu Din She'tunah L'Acharav. Torah that requires a bracha beforehand, certainly it should require a bracha afterwards. Birkat HaMazon L'Fanav Min Birkat HaTorah Mikal V'Chomer. Ma Torah She'in Tuna L'Acharah. Birkat HaTorah does not require an after bracha Tuna L'Fanav, but does require a before bracha. Mazon She'uton Acharav. Birkat HaMazon that requires it afterwards. Inu Din She'eton L'Fanav, certainly should require beforehand. So therefore, based on that Kal V'Chomer, we'll end up with a bracha Rishona and Acharona for both of them. But says Ikar L'Mefrach, there's a pircha, a break of that logic in the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Mazon She'kein Nehneh. By Mazon, the person is getting benefit. He's enjoying. So maybe that's the reason that he makes the bracha afterwards. Umala Torah She'kein Chayei Olam. And Torah might hold a unique status because it is the ultimate life. It is what we're supposed to dedicate our lives to, the blueprint of our lives. So maybe that has a unique status. Vodznan. And we have explicit Mishnah. L'mazon mivarech l'chanav le'acharav enu mivarech l'fanav. Our Mishnah by Abal Keri says he makes the bracha afterwards. He does not make the bracha beforehand. So there we see, Tiyufta. That's a strong refutation of this position of Rabbi Yochanan, that you can draw any parallel between the bracha of Birkat HaMazon and that of Birkat HaTorah. Each one stands independently. They each have their own chumrot. Based on that, you can't draw any conclusions, just extrapolate from one to the other. So I'm reviewing the Safik Kora Kriyat Shema, Safik Lo Kora. Enu Chuzer V'Kore. If he has a Safik as to whether he's read Kriyat Shema or not, he doesn't go back. Safek Amar Emet V'Yatziv, Safek Lo Amar. If it's a Safek whether he said the Brocha of Emet V'Yatziv, then Chuzer V'Omer. He has to go back and say Emet V'Yatziv. My time. What's the reason? Kriyat Shema De Rabbanan. Emet V'Yatziv De Oraita. Kriyat Shema is only a Din De Rabbanan. As we mentioned before in the Mishnah that there's a Shita like this. Emet V'Yatziv De Oraita. Whereas Emet V'Yatziv is De Oraita. Now we mentioned this in our introduction to Brachot, that there is a Deya here that Kriyat Shema is only a Din De Rabbanan. The Torah does not require a mandate once a Kriyat Shema. There is a din min haTorah to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that will be accomplished through Emet V'Yatziv. So basically what you've created here is you have Kriyat Shema, which will become a Safek D'Rabbanan. By Safek D'Rabbanan, we go to Kula. And therefore, if you have a Safek, whether you said Kriyat Shema or not, we're not going to have you repeat it. On the other hand, if you have a Safek by Emet V'Yatziv, where there it's a question D'Oraita, Safek D'Oraita, because of the mention of Yitziat Mitzrayim, therefore, we're going to make you repeat it if you're uncertain as to whether you've said it or not. So, Meitiv Rav Yosef. Yosef asked the question that everybody has on their mind now. The Pasuk says, U'bishoch b'chov kumecha. What do you mean that Kriyat Shema is only a din d'rabbanan? It's explicit in the Pasuk that you say it, b'shoch b'chov kumecha. I'm like, bye, how would be divrei Torah k'tiv? So, we mentioned before that there is a heavy correlation between Kriyat Shema and divrei Torah. And over here, Abai says that that Pasuk's not talking about the demand, v'ayu advari ma'ila. The question is, what are those Devarim? Are those Devarim what we mentioned before, which is Shema Yisrael Mahafto, and that's Vayu Advarim? Or Vayu Advarim, are they what's coming afterwards, the Divrei Torah? And those have to be Alabavchem, and that's what you do B'shoch B'chov Kumecha. So therefore, Rabbi says that the B'shoch B'chov Kumecha here is referring to Divrei Torah, Limura Torah, not to Kriyat Shema. That's why Kriyat Shema is only Midrabanan. It's not our Mishnah. Balkari Meher, Bilibo, Beinu Mivarech, Lo Lefanev, Lo Lachreah. In our Mishnah, it says that the Baal Keri is Meher when it comes to Kriyat Shema, but not when it comes to Birkot Kriyat Shema. V'ala Mazon Mevrech L'Acharav Enu Mevrech L'Fanav. V'Yisagadat Chayim Ev Yatziv Do'Raito. Ev Yatziv is Do'Raito. We just said before in the Gemara, that's the qualification for whether he's Meher. Livroch V'Acharav. Let him at least make the Brach of Ev Yatziv. My time of Mevrech. The Gemara says, why would you have him make a Brach? Im Yishum Yitziat Mitzrayim. If it's become mentioned Yitziat Mitzrayim, Ha'id Kar Lebi Kriyat Shema. He already captured that in Kriyat Shema when he mentioned Anochi Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. He already took care of that problem. V'nemaha v'lo libayha. So let him say Emet V'Yatziv, and then he won't have to say Kriyat Shema. Mas Kriyat Shema Adifa Adit Beit Arte. That Kriyat Shema is better because he gets a double benefit from that. If he says Kriyat Shema, he should say Yitziat Mitzrayim is Deoraita. Plus, he'll get Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim as a separate benefit. On the other hand, if he just says Emet V'Yatziv, he'll get the mitzvah of Yitziat Mitzrayim, but that's it. So if we have a choice to offer the Baal Keri to be Meher in one of the two, we're going to say to him, opt for Kriyat Shema. Because if you opt for Kriyat Shema, you're going to be better off. You get a double benefit from that. Because if you just say Emet V'Yatziv, you'll get the Mitzvah D'Oraita, but then nothing more than that. Here, if you do Kriyat Shema, you get the Mitzvah D'Oraita plus the Mitzvah D'Rabbanan here, to be mekabel o malchut shemayim. But nevertheless, that does not change the status here of Shema and Emet Yetziv, that Shema is only dinner Rabbanan, and Emet Yetziv is Doraita because of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Tosfot over here asks a question right away. He says, well, if that's the case, then what's the safek here? If he only has a safek about Emet Yetziv, he shouldn't have to go back because he said Kriyat Shema. He said Kriyat Shema, we know he mentioned Yetziat Mitzrayim, and therefore he won't have to go back. It's no longer a safek Doraita, but Emet Yetziv. Tosfot said it must be that he also has a safek in Kriyat Shema. It's a safek in Kriyat Shema and a safek in Emet V'Yatziv. He has a safek about both of them. So now, because of that safek, he'll only go back and say Emet V'Yatziv. So it says, why is that different than the Baal Keri? By the Baal Keri, we had a question of which one to pick, we picked Kriyat Shema. So over here, when we have a safek, and we're not sure if he said Kriyat Shema, we're not sure if he said Emet V'Yatziv, why don't we pick Kriyat Shema? Could work out to be the benefit. So Tosfot suggests over here that saying Emet V'Yatziv will be a better solution, because it might come out that he actually works out that he did the right thing. Because if he had said Kriyat Shema already and repeats it, he hasn't done anything more. If he said Emet Yetziv, possible that he said Kriyat Shema before and now he said Emet Yetziv and he got it right. The other possibility is he already said Emet Yetziv. If he said Emet Yetziv already, then the mitzvah Torah is gone. He doesn't need to say anything. So whether he says Kriyat Shema or Emet Yetziv doesn't make a difference. So Tosfot suggests that it's a better solution to have him say Emet Yetziv, although it's not so simple what Tosfot is saying, because because Tosfot suggests, even when there's a safek, if he just said Kriyat Shema, would have been fine, then in that case, Tosfot says they didn't want to be matriachim to say both, so they just offered him to say Emet Yetziv. It seems like a somewhat wishy-washy answer to the question. So he brings an alternative answer from Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon says Emet Yetziv includes the parsha Vayomer. Kriyat Shema means Va'avtem Vayayim Shemoa. Emet Yetziv means, like, because Emet Yetziv is always connected Vayomer, means Haskarat Yetziat Mitzrayim, meaning that the Vayomer plus Emet Yetziv come together as a package. So it's a fake here is whether he said Vayomer and Emet Yetziv. And therefore, repeating Kriyat Shema is not in the cards here because he already said Kriyat Shema. He said Shema Vayim Shema. The only question here is about Yetziat Mitzrayim. How is he going to do it? So there we say, do Emet Yetziv. Means that he should say Vayomer and Emet Yetziv and be Yotze. So that answer, even though it seems a little more strange, nevertheless, it's a little more palatable in terms of the decision only to say Emet Yetziv and not to say Kriyat Shema. Right now we have the opposing opinion, which is Rabbi Lazar Mar Safek Kara Kriyat Shema Safek Lo Kara. If you have Safek whether he read Kriyat Shema, not Chozer Vekor Kriyat Shema, then he goes back and repeats it. Safek Yitpalel Safek Lo Yitpalel Eno Chozer Mitpalel. Because it's a fake whether he daven Shmoneser or not, he doesn't go back. It's because here we have a Safek Doraita versus Safek Darabanan. It's clear that Rabbi Lazar disagrees with the position of Amar Yehuda Amar Rav that Safek Kriyat Shema Safek Lo Kara Eno Chozer, which is a din Darabanan. Whereas over here, it's clear that Rabbi Lozer believes that it's a din de oraita, and that's why he has to go back. But tefillah, he says, is de rabbanan. And since tefillah is de rabbanan, over there, if you have a safek, you don't go back. B'yochanan says, olavai, sheit palel adam kol yom kulo, halavai. Certainly should be so that a person daven all day. So even if he daven once, let him daven again. What's the big deal? If a person davens all day, it would have been a wonderful thing. So what's the big deal if he repeats it or he says it again? All right, we're going to read the Din of Shmuel. We'll come back and speak about the halacha that comes out of this. Shazamar Yehuda Meshmuel, Ayahu made bitfilah v'nizkar sheitpalel. Person is davening Shmuel Esser and remembers that he already davened. Posek, he stops right away. Vafilu v'emtsa brocha. Even in the middle of a brocha, he stops. Because his tefillah is completely unnecessary. Ini, is that really true? V'amar Rav Nachman, ki avinem bei rabba baravua, ban minei, hanei bnei bei rav, de tou. They made a mistake. Umadkrei duchol b'shabbat. They made a mistake, they were davening on Shabbat, but they got lost, they were floating away somewhere else, and they started davening a chol Shmon Esrei on Shabbat. Maushigmoro! Should they finish off the Shmon Esrei? Amarlan, gomrim koloto bracha. You finish whatever bracha you're in, you have to finish or complete that bracha, and then you move over to the Shmon Esrei of Shabbat. So you see over there that we tell you to finish, even though you've already, you shouldn't be davening. You're davening something that you don't need to daven. You're davening chol, even though it's Shabbat. So because of that, we said, go ahead and finish the bracha. So why not over here the same thing? Even though you're davening Shmoneh Esrei and you davened already, it's an unnecessary bracha, but nevertheless, why don't we say to you, finish it up? So where it says, Achi Hashtag, can you compare the two? Hatam Gavra Bar Chiyuvu. By Shabbat, the person is a Chiyuv. He has to daven Shmoneh Esrei. And he's really davening Shmoneh Esrei Shachol. Rabbanan Hu, Dulat Rechu, Mishum Kvoda Shabbat. But the Rabbanan, because of Kvoda Shabbat, didn't want to be Matriachim to say that. Avahocha Atzalilei. But over here, it's a totally different case. Here he davened already. It's completely davened. To daven again is completely extraneous, unnecessary. And therefore, we're going to say to him, no. So the two cases are not comparable. Case by Shabbat, he's davening what should have been the core Shmoneh Esrei. On Shabbat, he has a special dispensation to make a shorter Shmoneh Esrei because the Rabbanan said, we don't want to be matriach you to say such a long Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbat. But had it not been for that, you should be davening chol. So when he davens chol, he's not so far off the mark. He's what he should have been doing. He just has this ability not to do it. So we say, finish the bracha and then move on. Whereas by the case where he davened already, there's no reason for him to say that second Shmon Esrei. And they were going to tell him to stop right away when you find that out. And that's what turns out to be the halacha. What's interesting here, that's the Bavli's reason. The Yerushalmi brings down the reason on Shabbat we don't say the Shmon Esrei is because we aren't Shuel Tzrachim. We don't ask for our needs on Shabbat. We're not Mevakesh Me'akot Baruch Hu Atzrachim on Shabbat. So that would be very different. According to the Bavli, the core tefillah is of Chol. Just that because of Kodesh Shabbat, we switched over to Shabbat to a smaller, shorter Shmon Esrei. But according to the Yerushalmi, there's a fundamental reason not to do it on Shabbat because you don't Shoel Tzrachim on Shabbat. And therefore, according to the Yerushalmi, it's possible to say that if you made a mistake in Chol, maybe you shouldn't continue because it's really not the proper Shmon Esrei because there's something fundamentally wrong with answering your Tzrachim on Shabbat. We have here the Bavli's reason, but you should just be aware that Yerushalmi does give a different reason, but Allah, we pass in like the Bavli, that if one finds himself in the middle of the Chol Shmon Esrei on Shabbat, they finish whatever bracha they're in, and then they jump over to the Shabbat Shmon Esrei. There's one more statement for Shmuel, and then we'll go back and discuss the halacha here. V'amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hitpalel v'nichnas lebeit ha'knesset ha'matzah tzibur shemitpalelim. He davened already once, and now he comes into shul and he finds the tzibur davening. If he can daven now and add something new to his davening, a new perspective, a new bakasha to his davening, then yechzor v'itpalel, he should daven again. V'imlav, ayechzor v'itpalel. If not, he shouldn't go back and daven again. V'tzricha, we need these two statements of Shmuel. One statement is that if a yachid's davened already, he figured he finds himself in Shmon Esrei again, he should stop right away. Can't daven again. And the one here by the tzibur, that if you come in and find the tzibur daven, you only had a daven if you're mechadesh b'davar. We need both of these. Diyash v'nin kamaita, if you only told us the din, if a yachid davened, and then he's trying to daven again, he should stop right away. Hanimil yachid v'yachid. That's because it's a yachid that davened originally, and now he's the same yachid as davening again. It's tefillah b'yachid, tefillah b'yachid. So that's why, v'itzibur v'tzibur. Or, if it was a case where he davened with the tzibur, and now he's davened with the tzibur again. Ava yachid agavi tzibur, if he had davened by himself originally. And now he's joining the tzibur for the second Shmona Esrei, k'mandalo tzali dami. Maybe I would think that that's a built-in chiddush. Davening Shmona Esrei v'tzibur should be a chiddush in your tefillah, and you shouldn't have to add anything. K'mash Shmona, that's not the case. That davening with the tzibur is not a chiddush in your tefillah. It's not enough of a reason to daven a second time. Because you daven b'yochid, you can't just daven b'tzibur, you have to add something else. If you remember, the Tabino Reniona had a big chiddush in the beginning of the Sechda that said, when it comes to smichat gula l'tfilah, that is a chiddush in your Shmon Esrei. That's enough for the chiddush. That brach of Gal Yisrael has such an impact on the Shmon Esrei, qualitatively changes the Shmon Esrei, that's a chiddush in the Shmon Esrei. So a person daven the first time without smichat gula l'tfilah, and then goes back and davens with smichat gula l'tfilah, that would be a chiddush in his tfilah. But davening b'tzibur would not be that way. If you only had the din by the tzibur, I would mishum to atchil ba, because he didn't start with them. Avahotam to atchil ba. So over there by the tzibur, he's walking and he finds them davening. So should he start? Should he not start? We say don't start because he didn't start yet. But in the case where he already started Shmon Esrei, maybe we would tell him to finish. Emalo. So maybe there we would say continue on. So that's why I had the first case where Shmuel says, if you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei and you figure out that you're davening already, you stop right away. Rashi brings down from Lochot Gedolot, and Tosafot brings the same din, which is, Pasak Alocha Rabbi Yochanan. The Alocha here is like Rabbi Yochanan, that Alavai, a person should daven all day. But that's only Bisafek. If he has a Safek, whether he davened or not, we're gonna allow you to go back and daven again, even though it's a Safek, and Safek Tfilah, Safek Der Abundance, the Kula over here, we're gonna grant you the ability to go back and daven because of Rabbi Yochanan's principle. Alavai, Shifto Adam, Kolo Yom Kulo. It's good, a person should daven all day. But, if a person knows for sure, by Vaday Tvela, Loch is like Shmuel. Loch is like Shmuel. If you know you definitely daven and you find yourself in Shmon Esrei again, you have to stop right away. Unless you can come up with a Chiddush in the second Shmon Esrei. And if you have a Chiddush in the second Shmon Esrei, you can daven again, or you can daven with the Tzibur in that case. So Loch is both like Rabbi Yochanan and like Shmuel. But in different cases, the Loch will be like Rabbi Yochanan in a case of Safek, and the Loch will be like Shmuel in a case of Vaday. Right now, the next piece of Gemara is very important. Has tremendous nafkamino d'alocha, and really is the premise, or a background to, how to daven Shmon Esrei with the tzibur. Person comes into shul, son finds the tzibur davening. If he has the ability to finish his Shmon Esrei before the shatz will get to modim, he should do it. If not, he should not do this. If he can able to daven and finish before the, when they do chazarat shatz, they'll be saying kedusha, then he should do it. He shouldn't daven. But my kamiflige, what are they arguing about? Marzaven yachid omer kedusha. Marzaven yachid omer kedusha. One of them believes that a yachid can say kedusha by himself. Therefore, he can say it by himself. He doesn't need to say it with the tzibur. So he doesn't have to finish in time for the tzibur because he can say it when he's having his own shmoneh esrei. And the other one believes that ene yachid omer kedusha. That yachid is unable to say kedusha. V'chein amar ravada barava minayin shene yachid omer kedusha. How do you know that yachid can't say kedusha? Because the pasuk says, "Senemar v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael." When it comes to kiddush Hashem, I'll be nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, amongst b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebekdusha, anything that is a davar shebekdusha, something that involves kedusha, lo yepachod b'asara, should not be less than 10. You need a minion for anything that is a davar shebekdusha. My mashmo, how do you know that there's 10 out of here? Tetani Rabbanai Achud Rabbi Chir Baraba At Yotoch Toch Beegzer Shava Toch Toch Tiva Ochem Nikdashi B'Toch Bnei Yisrael Uftiv Hatam Hibadu Mitoch Aida. They should leave that Aida. Now that is only part of the limud here. The Gemara doesn't continue on. It's almost like etc. There is a secondary part to that limud, which is Da Badu Mitoch Aida. And then we have Egzer Shava Aida Aida. There it's talking about Adat Korach, but we have Egzer Shava to the Aida by the Meraglim. There, where we're talking about the Aida Ra'a. By the Meraglim, it's the 10 Meraglim. There are 12 Meraglim that went. Kalev and Yoshua are good Meraglim, so you have 10 of them. So that's how we get to the number 10, through this double Gzera Shava of Toch Toch, Eida, Eida. And so therefore, through the Meraglim and Adat Korach, we learn the din of a minion, that you have to daven ba'asara. You have to daven with 10, with Dusha, Malal Aran Asara, Avkan Asara. Just like over there, you require 10. So too, over here, you have to have 10 for any Dover Shibik Dusha, V'nikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. And therefore, you cannot start Shemoneh Esrei unless you know for sure that you're going to get back there and finish in time to hear Kedusha and Chazarat HaShatz. Everybody says, Udkuli Alma, Mifsak Lo Pasik. Everybody here agrees that you cannot interrupt the Shemoneh Esrei. If you're davening Shemoneh Esrei and they get to Kedusha, you don't interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei. Because if you could interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei, this wouldn't be a question at all. You just say Kedusha and you continue on. Fact is, you must not be able to say Kedusha, and that's why we are accelerating the Shemoneh Esrei. Are telling you must finish in time for the Kedusha, because otherwise you won't be able to say it. Or the same is true by Modim. We're not going to let you interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei to say Modim. Otherwise, why would you have to finish in time to say Modim? So the Gemara says, Zibaylu, Ma'olav Sikle Hei Shmo HaGadol Mevorach. What is the din with interrupting Shemoneh Esrei to answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabo? So the Gemara says, Ki'at Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yehuda V'Rab Shimon Tamidei Rabbi Yochanan Amrei Lekol Ein Mafsikim. You're not allowed to interrupt Shemoneh Esrei for anything. Chutz Men Yehei Shmo HaGadol Mevorach. Except for Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach, that you're allowed to answer the Kaddish, Yehei Shmei Rabo, you're allowed to interrupt Shemoneh Esrei. Shafilo Seik B'Maseh Merkava. Even if you're involved in the mode, the highest, the loftiest of things, Poseik, you stop to answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabo. That's how important it is. Mar says, V'Leikah Yitchot Ta'kavateik. The Loch is not like them, and you don't interrupt even for Yehei Shmei Gadol Mevorach, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach. So this Gemara here has major, major implications. We'll start one by one and deal with them. Number one is, it is absolutely clear from this Gemara that Yehei Shmei Rabo is on a higher level than Kedusha. And that's the hierarchy here. The hierarchy, and it's brought down the Loch of the Mishnah Berurah mentions this. If you're talking about a hierarchy, there's a hierarchy in Tfilah. Yehei Shmei Rabo, Kaddish is number one. Kedusha is number two. Modim is number three. I'm mentioning this because the Minhag Yisrael is that when it comes to Kedusha in Shul, everyone is absolutely silent, stands there with their feet together. You can't hear a peep in the shul when it comes to Kedusha. Comes to Kaddish, Yehei Shmei Rabo. People are barely paying attention. There's talking, everything going on. It is clear from this Gemara that is a complete misunderstanding of the importance of Kaddish and Yehei Shmei Rabo. It's clear that, obviously, if you talk during Yehei Shmei Rabo, you should talk during Kedusha. The better way to look at it is, if you don't talk during Kedusha, then you certainly shouldn't talk during Kaddish or Yehei Shmei Rabo Mivorach. Right, the next thing that we learn out from this Gemara is that what do you do in Shemoneh Esrei when you hit one of these items? When you bump into your davening Shemoneh Esrei and all of a sudden they have Kedusha, your davening Shemoneh Esrei and they hit Modim, what do you do in these instances? So with Modim, it's a very easy solution. In Modim, you just bow down at the same time the Tzibur bows down. The problem by Modim is not that you have to say Modim, because Modim Derabanan is a later addition. It's not even mentioned in the Gemara. And therefore, as Tosafot points out, there's no issue about interrupting Shemoneh Esrei to say Modim. The only thing you need to do is bow down so you don't look like a kofir. When everybody else is bowing down, you don't bow down, it looks bad. So as long as you're not at the beginning or end of a bracha, you can bow down along with, or you should try to be mekavein, that you can be in the middle of a bracha when they hit modim, so you can bow down. With regards to Kedusha, it's a machloket arishonim. It's really a three-way machloket arishonim. Over here, we'll deal with Rashi and Tosafot Shita. Rashi says in Sukkah that if you hit Kedusha while you're in Shemoneh Esrei, you should stand there silently and listen to Kedusha, because it's Shomei HaKoneh. you can listen, and then as if you answered the Kedusha, and then you'll continue on with your Shmoneh Esrei, as if you've covered both things. You've done Shemei Kohanah, you've done your Kedusha, and you've not interrupted your Shmoneh Esrei. Tosafot brings from the Rebbe and Rabbeinu Tam and says, how could you do that? If you stand there and listen to Kedusha, Shemei Kohanah means as if you said it. It's as if you said it, then you interrupted your Shmoneh Esrei with saying Kedusha. So if that's the case, then you ruin your Shmoneh Esrei. So better not to stop and listen to it and to go on, because otherwise it's an interruption in the Shmoneh Esrei. This relates to the difference, or a fundamental difference, the way Rashi and Tosafot understand Shomei HaKa'oneh. Rashi says when you say Shomei HaKa'oneh, it means that I am able to take the Amirah of someone else and I'm able to apply it to myself, because they're speaking, when I answer to that or when I listen to that, I'm able to discharge whatever obligation I needed through their speech. On the other hand, Tosafot uses Shomei HaKa'oneh so literally that it means when someone else says it and I listen, it's as if I said it. It's literally like I'm speaking in the same time. And that fundamental difference leads to the difference in their view of what you should do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. There are others like the Rashba and others that believe that Shomei HaKa'oneh does not work at all in this case. And therefore, waiting makes no difference. And if you wait, you might actually end up interrupting your Shemoneh Esrei, because if you wait too long, then if you could have finished the Shemoneh Esrei in that period of time, we consider it to be a hefsek in the middle, and therefore there's no reason to do it. Here we have a number of Rishonim that give suggestions about what to do. Tosafot and some of the other Rishonim believe you shouldn't stop at all, you should continue on davening, ignore it. Rashi believes that you should stop and be Shomei HaKa'oneh. And as Tosafot points out, Mikol Makom Nagu Ha'am L'shtok V'lishmo V'gdol HaMinhag. Despite the fact that he objects to this, because Shomei HaKa'oneh is as if it's an Aniyah, the Minhag Ha'am is like Rashi, and that's the way we pass on Halacha, like Rashi, that one should, when they get to these positions of Modim, should bow down. When it gets to hearing Kedusha, should stop in Shemoneh Esrei, listen, be Mikavein to the Shatz, be Shomei HaKa'oneh, and then continue on with his Shemoneh Esrei. Even though Reb Soloveitchik was against this psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, because he believes that the Rov HaRishonim believe that it doesn't work. And even though Rashi says it does work, you have most of the Rishonim believing it doesn't work, and so therefore he seemed to lean in favor of not doing that, or making sure to finish Shemoneh Esrei in time to hear the Kedusha without having this problem. Tosafot raises from the Yerushalmi that it's not only true by Kedusha that a person has to answer, but a person also has to answer the Amein for Akel HaKadosh and the Amein for Shomei HaTfilah. And those Ameins are also very important. And so based on that, the Halacha will turn out that a person who is caught in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei when any of these happens, first of all, he should listen, be Mekavein for the Bracha of Akel HaKadosh and Shomei HaTfilah, as well as Kedusha. And then, when it comes to Modim, he should bow down if he's caught in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. As far as coming late to Shul, then a person who comes late to Shul should only daven Shemoneh Esrei if he's certain that he can finish the Shemoneh Esrei in time to say Kedusha with the Tzibur when the Chazarat HaShatz comes about. If he cannot do that, he should wait to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Now, if he starts Shemoneh Esrei after Kedusha, he waited and after Kedusha, he should only start Shemoneh Esrei after Kedusha if he knows he can finish in time for Modim. So we actually pass on like both of these Shitot, even though they're mutually exclusive in our Gemara, but depends on where you're found, where the Chazarat HaShatz is found. If the Tzibur is before Kedusha, then you must daven Shemoneh Esrei in time to finish for Kedusha. If the Tzibur is before Modim after Kedusha, then you have to finish in time for Modim. Now, even though if you were in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you could just bow down, nevertheless, we still prefer, if you're not in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you could down Modim and say Modim, you're not going to benefit from davening then. It's not called Tfilat Zibur anymore. So you may as well wait and say Modim with the Zibur, and then afterwards finish up Shemoneh Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah does point out, and this is on this hierarchy, that Yeheshmei Rabo is on a higher level than Modim and Kedusha. And that means if a person is going to miss out on Kaddish and you mean Yeheshmei Rabo, then he should opt to miss Kedusha or Modim in order to hear Yeheshmei Rabo. So in the case here where he walked in after Kedusha, and now he has a choice between davening Shemoneh Esrei and missing Modim, or waiting to after Modim and then davening Shemoneh Esrei and missing Kaddish, Yeheshmei Rabo, he should daven, miss Modim, and say Yeheshmei Rabo. So that hierarchy has to be kept in mind, that the top priority is Yeheshmei Rabo, is the Kaddish. The second is Kedusha, and then Modim, and that person has to make a decision, depending on if it's late in the day, if it's at Mincha time, he's going to run out of time. That will always govern. I mean, if he's going to miss out saying Shemoneh Esrei, of course he should say it, even if he's going to miss any of these items. But if he has to balance between which of these items to miss, that's the hierarchy that he should have in mind when he has to daven Shemoneh Esrei in those situations. Again, the Be'er Halacha leaves a bit safek, a case where a person normally davens along Shemoneh Esrei, and he starts at the same time as the Tzibur, but he's going to miss out on Kedusha. So it says that our Gemara is not a proof to what to do in that situation. But nevertheless, thinks that a person probably is an onus in that case and it should be fine. They should be able to start with the tzibur. As long as he started with the tzibur, he then does not have to worry about finishing in time for the kedusha afterwards. The last thing that I want to speak about is the fact that the source for minyan comes from the meraglim and adat korach, which seems to be a most unlikely source for the fact that you have to have 10 people. Picking out two horrible events in Jewish history in the midbar, the chet meraglim, which ends up in Israel in the midbar for 40 years, adat korach, which ends up with the earth opening up and swallowing up a whole bunch of people and a terrible happening. Then that becomes the source for the fact of any Dover Shibik Dusha. So I'll say a big tzara here. I think there's a lot more to say about this. But in both those parshiot of the Meraglim, as well as the parshiot Korach, the Torah uses the term Eda. The term Eda, when if you look carefully there, all the Rishonim speak about this. You can look in the Ramban, focuses on it, any of the other Rishonim focus on it there. That the word Eda is very ambiguous in both of those parshiot. It's unclear many times if the Eda is referring to Bnei Israel or to the Meraglim. Or the Eda is focusing on Korach, Vadato, or on Eda and Bnei Israel. There's an ambiguity in those two parshiot as to when the word Eda is used, who is it referring to. And it's almost as if the Torah intentionally made it ambiguous because it flips back and forth. You're actually not sure who's culpable over here. Is it Bnei Israel or the Meraglim? Is it Korach or Bnei Israel? And that's exactly the idea of minyan. The idea of minyan is that a minyan is a tamtzit. It's a portion, it's a representation of being a part of called Klal Yisrael. 10 people get together, the Rav Soloveitchik Reis Nashir, the Zecher Avi Umuri. When you have a minyan, it's as if you have all of Klal Yisrael there. It's as if you're a representation of all of Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly the idea of Eda. That lesson that we learn from the word Eda that is found by the Meraglim and Korach, exactly what we want to create in a minyan. A minyan having 10 people changes the dynamic. It changes it from simply being a bunch of people together davening to an Eda, to a group that now represent part of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And that is why we learn it out from there. So from a place, even though it's a place of what we'd call darkness and evil, the Meraglim and Korach, the lesson that is learned from there is so important and so fundamental. That's exactly where we learn the din of minyan from there. One last thing, Tosfot over here mentions that the Yachid is not mitpalel kedusha. Tosfot says, and v'hechen alocha, the Yachid is not allowed to say kedusha. But he says, aval mitpalel yudchet dimachazan, neshigia shatz kedusha, yomar meshlech tzibur. That in Eitzah, if a person comes in late to shul and is unable to finish in time, for daven, shmoneh esrei fast enough to be in time for the hear kedusha afterwards, should do is wait and daven chazara shatz together with the shatz himself. And by davening together with the shatz himself, he can then say kedusha word for word along with the shatz, and that'll be a quasi or a type of tefillah bitzibur that is brought down halacha. Obviously, based on what we said now from the Yishalmi and the Tosafot, he would also have to do that for a kelah kadosh. And for Shemei Tefillah, he has to either say them together with the Chazan, or he has to finish for Shemei Tefillah before the Chazan gets there, so he can answer Amen to Shemei Tefillah and bow down to Modim at the same time. But that if he does that, he actually comes up with a compromise solution where you can dive in with the Tzibur and still capture all these items. So if a person's late and is Mishaer, figures out that he can't finish Mishaer in time to hear Kedusha with the Tzibur, then he should wait and dive in Chadarat the Shatz together with the Shatz himself, in order to capture Philip at Sibor, as well as the din of Kedusha. Right now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda Memra Rech Lefneim Uachrem. You make a bracha beforehand and afterwards. The Memra, the Kazav Rabbi Yehuda Balkeri Mutar B'Divrei Torah. Sounds like from this, Rabbi Yehuda believes that Balkeri is Mutar in Divrei Torah. Rav Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi, Minayin Balkeri Shasur B'Divrei Torah. How do we know that Balkeri is not allowed to learn Torah? This is the source for Takanat Ezra, as well as what we mentioned from Rashi in the Mishnah before. You should tell over to your children, Yom Asher Mata, right, the day that you stood at Sinai, Malahalan Balkari and Asurin, just like by the Mamad Har Sinai, a Balkari was not permitted to be there. Afkan Balkari and Asurin, so to over here, where you have to teach your children about the Torah, Balkari and Asurin. It turns out, if you go to the Pasuk in the Torah and Dvarim, it's Machoket Rashi and the Ramban as to what the Pasuk is speaking about. Rashi believes it's talking about Divrei Torah, so that you have to remember what you learned at Har Sinai and pass that along to your children, the Mesorah. And that would work well into our Gemara. The Ramban, on the other hand, believes that there's a tzivoy to remember Mamad Har Sinai, that standing at Har Sinai and the experiential part of Har Sinai, that is what you have to pass down to your children. So according to the Ramban, this limud is not as smooth, but obviously there is an aspect of the experiential side of Har Sinai involving the Mesorah of the Torah. And over here, the Gemara says that Mesorah of the Torah is governed by the principles of Har Sinai, and we'll see that again later in the Gemara, about how one has to approach Torah. But over here, just like by Har Sinai, the Baal Keri was not allowed to come before Har Sinai. That's why everybody had to separate from their wives 3 days before Mamad Har Sinai. So it's over here. For now, in the generations, where Ezra was in Hakein, that a Baal Keri should not learn Torah. Chitim Rabbi Yehuda lo Dorish Smuchin. So what are you going to say? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make that drasha because he's not Dorish Smuchim. Juxtapositions in the Psukim. V'amar Rabbi Yosef, afilo mandalo Dorish Smuchim b'cholo Torah b'mishna Torah Dorish. Even according to the one who does not Doresh juxtapositions anywhere else in the Torah, when it comes to Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim, he is Doresh Smuchim. Da, Rabbi Yehuda lo Doresh Smuchim b'chol Torah kula. Rabbi Yehuda does not Doresh juxtapositions anywhere else in the Torah. U'menishna Torah Doresh. But when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, he is Doresh. V'chol Torah kula menolon de lo Doresh. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not Darshan juxtapositions the rest of the Torah? De Tanya. Rabbi the Ben Azai Omer, Nemar, Michashefa lo techaye. Sorceress, you should not allow to live. V'nemar, afterwards it says, Koshochevim be'ma motumat, that anybody who performs bestiality should die by stoning. Samchu, inyan lo lomar. So they juxtapose these two dinim to teach you. Ma shochevim be'ma beskila, just like bestiality is punished by stoning. Av Michashefa, Nami Biskila. So to a sorceress is punished by Skila. So that's a juxtaposition that teaches a din in Sefer Shemot. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Michim B'nei Shesamchu, Inyando, Notzila Zele Skila. Skila is the most chamur of all the death penalties. So just because you have a juxtaposition in the Torah, you're going to put him to death through Skila. Ella, the reason that you get Skila Michashefa is because of Ovi Doni. Ovi Yoni Bichlal Kol Michashefim Ayu. Ovi Yonodi are a part of this genre of sorceresses. People that subscribe to dark forces or other forces. So, they were a part of that group. And then they were taken out. And when they were taken out, they had a special din, which is that they have a din of skila. Oven Yudini get skila. So, lama yatsu. So, why did they get separated out? Like, Gishlan, to make a hekesh between them and all of that genre. Just like Oven Yudini skila, ap mechashifa biskila. So too, the mechashifa is biskila. This is one of the principles that we say in Rabbi Shmuel. Something that was part of the general principle, we had Sam in a cloud, and it left that principle, not just to teach about itself did it go out, but it comes to teach about the entirety of the principle. And so over here, Ovi Doni will tell us that everything in that genre will get skila. So in the end, Rabbi Yehuda comes up with the same din as Ben Azai, but he refuses to use the limud of juxtaposition of smichuta parshiot. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda does Doresh juxtapositions in Devarim? Titania. A person can marry a woman who was either raped or seduced by his father. Anusat ben Omufutat ben Or. Father can marry a woman that was seduced or raped by his son. Rabbi Yehuda says that's true by the son, but not true by the father. If the son wants to marry his father, the woman who was raped by his father or seduced by his father, he may not do so. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? A person may not take his father's wife. He may not reveal the erva of his father. Any wing that saw his father, he may not expose. How do you know that? That's talking about an anusa, case of rape. That could be talking about a regular wife. And where it says, the Samichle, because the pasuk after it says, in Natan Isha Shechevima, Parsha of Anusa is written right there. Samrei, in, B'mishnah Torah Darish, V'ani Smuchim Yibayla De'idach, Dor Bishu Ben Levi. In Ochanami, Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh Smuchim B'mishnah Torah, and he'll also be Doresh the Smuchim here, of Adat L'Venecha V'Vimenecha, which is next to the pasuk, Yom Asher Amat, Talifnei Hashem Lokecha B'choreiv. So what is he going to do with it? But he has another limud for that. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi called Malamed Dibno Torah, Malay Alav Kedub, Kielu Kibla Mehar Choreiv. Anybody who teaches his child Torah, the Torah considers if he was standing there, that he got it from Har Sinai and passed Masura directly from Har Sinai to his child. Shinemar, Vodatam Levenecha V'Vimenecha, Uktibachrei, Yom Asher Amat, Talifnei Hashem Lokecha B'choreiv. So therefore, that juxtaposition teaches us that the passage of the Masura is the equivalent of standing there at the foot of the mountain on Har Sinai. The Magma says, Tan, Mishnah, later on. Zav Shira Keri. A Zav who's already Tamei and sees Keri as a seeming omission. Now, in terms of Tuma, he's no more Tamei than he was before. Going to the mikveh won't make him Tahor. Nevertheless, because of this Takana of Ezra, he goes to the mikveh to clear up his Tumat Keri in order to learn. Even though it won't have an impact, he'll still be Tamei because he's a Zav. Vinida Shapota Shikhwazera. Nida also, she's already Tamei'a. The fact that she's Paletet Shechwazer does nothing to add to the fact that she's a Nida. Nevertheless, she'll have to go to the mikveh in order to learn Torah, even though that won't change her status as being Tmeyah from because of a Nida. Nida, person who is having Bi'ah, and then she becomes a Nida afterwards, Tzuchim Tevila, all of them require a Tevila. Even though, again, when you go to the mikveh, it's going to have no impact because this person will remain Tamei. Nevertheless, in order to Tekanat Ezra, in order to learn Torah, you must go to the mikveh. Rav Yehuda Puter. Even in all these instances, says you Patur. Adkan lo Patar Rav Yehuda, la b'zav shra keri. Only in a case where it's a Zav. He was already a Zav, and then he has a simon omission. Demikara lav bar tvilu. Because he doesn't, can't go to the mikveh anyway. He's still a Zav. Aval Bakeri Greido, in a regular case of Bakeri, di mechayev. He says that you do have to go to the mikveh. So now you see that Rav Yehuda does believe you have to go. Balkari has a problem, and it needs to go to mikveh. So how come in our Mishnah he's saying, bracha lifneim, bracha l'achreim? We started out with the stipulation that the reason that Rav Yehuda must say this is because Balkari mutar b'divrei Torah. So number one is, we tried to prove that that's not the case, because even Rav Yehuda agrees that learn the juxtaposition in Sefer Devarim, that would teach us that there's a problem with Balkari. But he says, no, he uses that for some other limud. Now the Gemara tries again with this Mishnah, which is, Rav Yehuda only argues on a case where you have someone who's tamei already, then we say that he doesn't go to mikveh for keri. But if he's not tamei already, Rabbi Yehuda would say that he should go to the mikveh. The Gemara says, they say, no, Rabbi Yehuda is just arguing the Mishnah based on what's presented by the Tanakhama. But ain't no chanami that even if he was just about keri, he would not require him to go to mikveh either. The reason that the Mishnah states the case of Balkari as Zav Shavar Balkari, the teacher that the Rabbanan in that case still require a Tevilah. So Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter half of that Mishnah? Meshameshet v'rata nidah. She was having Bi'ah. So the Sheikh Vazer came first. And then Rata nidah, then she became a nidah. Tzuchat Tevilah. The man Toni law. Who is that according to? Ilema le Rabbanan. If it's according to Rabbanan, Pshita. Hashto ma zav shra keri demi karala bar Tevilahu michai v'Rabbanan. So in a case where he's already a Zav, and then he sees a similar mission, there the Rabbanan say he has to go to the mikveh. It's certainly a case where he had a simon omission, or she had a din of tumat shekh vatzera beforehand, and then she became a nida. So then certainly she should have to go to the mikveh in that case. So then, mushameshiv rata, nidami kara bat tefilahi, she already was chayevet in the tefilah for the shekh vatzera, then lo kol, she came certainly in that case. Allah must be Rabbi Yehudi, bedavka toni lo. And that's the only case where he says she does have to go to the mikveh. Mushameshiv rata nida, ena tzricha tefilah, aval balkeri greida mechayev. Only in that case, where she becomes a nida afterwards, where it becomes irrelevant going to the mikveh, that's where he waives the need to go to the mikveh. But a regular case of a simon omission, he's going to say, go to the mikveh. The Gemara says, lo teima mevarech, ela meharher. Now you change the lashon in the Mishnah, not to say mevarech. Mevarech sounds like he can articulate, that he can say it, that there's no problem here. Rather, meharher. He's meharher, the bracha lefanah and the bracha acharah, just like Tanakhama said by Kriyat Shema is meharher. So to review, that adds on the bracha lefanah l'acharah, deis meharher. So first of all, that gets rid of the problem. Now we know that he believes that Balkari is a problem in terms of divrei Torah, and that's why he can't say it explicitly or articulate it. Nevertheless, he disagrees with the Tanakhama about what he is meharher. Tanakhama says only meharher when it comes to Kriyat Shema, but not when it comes to the bracha lefanah l'acharah, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, even bracha lefanah acharah, he's meharher. Alright, we're gonna stop over here, cause the Gemara challenging this position of Yehuda continues down for another half an amud here, so we'll continue with that tomorrow.